1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. And we launched into a little study last week of He's been made unto us. Isn't that wonderful? And as it says here in the 30th verse, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus. See, we're in Christ. Who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. And in that launching into that study, the Lord had touched my heart. How sweet that these wonderful things, these glories that the Lord has been made unto us, are so prevalent and evident in the four living ones that are seen in Revelation chapter 4. Those four living ones, which are, as we've studied many, many times here, we see that that's the company, praise God, known as the Bride of Christ. It's the company that is seen in the midst of the throne that rules and reigns together with Him. It's the worshiping company. It's the company that will, throughout the tribulation time, carry out the judgment along with the Lord. It's amazing what His wife will do. But you think about encouragement that we have in marriages that are under the hand of God. The husband and the wife move jointly together. The husband and the wife, they submit one to another. It isn't just that one reigns over the household. They work together. And there's a shared honor and a shared glory. And we're so thankful to God that the woman reverences the man, but the woman is the glory of the man. And it's so absolutely wonderful that God has given that to us, as we can see in homes that would live to the extent of what God has given us in marriage. Let me tell you something, it's amazing. Because the amazing part of it is that marriage is the representation truly of what Christ Jesus wants us to be with Him. And so we see in those four living ones these wonderful glories of the Lord in each and every one of these beasts. And last week we launched into the first one, which, as it says here, He has been made unto us wisdom. We saw that that was the first beast that's shown in Revelation 4, the lion, that king. And as the Lord brought out so many different things, the kings are wise. I was thankful our study on Sunday, wasn't it precious how the Lord showed us that once again, that you know those magi, those kings, they saw the glory and they sought it out. And there was one thing they wanted to do, they wanted to worship. And if you think about the four living ones, what they do is they're worshipers and truly represent the thing that God is looking for His Son, the true worshiper that worships Him in spirit and in truth. And as we talk about that word worship, once again, it's drawing nigh and fervent love is to kiss. It's that kiss between a husband and a wife. That's why in the Song of Solomon, it's so wonderful to see as that begins, let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth. With that, we can see very clearly that that is what the Lord wants so sweetly for us to share with Him and to have that intimacy that we would rule and reign jointly together with Jesus Christ. Now, going on tonight, we come to this second glory. And I want you to think about this. Just as we know that in the Lord, when we're born again, we are now the sons of God. And when we're born again, we're born as kings. We've talked about that many times in Galatians 4:1, that the Lord says in that wonderful birth that we are in Christ and born of God, we understand that we're little lords of all. We're little kings, but the king's got to grow up. As the Word of God tells us, that if we remain immature in what the Lord has given us, we remain basically in the knowledge of a servant in the kingdom, as opposed to growing up fully into that king which we are born. Well, if you think about it tonight, it's going to be the same thing. He has been made unto us righteousness. That's wonderful. And we are born, praise God, when we're born of God, we're born with His righteousness. We're righteous. We're fully righteous. It's wonderful. But by the grace of God, we can grow up in that righteousness. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, that He has been made unto us righteousness. Now, I want you to think about this. How is he made to us righteousness? Well, through His death on the cross. That once and for all sacrifice being made sin for us by taking our place, that wonderful calf, the second beast, Praise God. Let's go over there and let's read that in Revelation chapter 4, just to get back into thinking about those precious, wonderful living ones that are the representation of the bride of Christ that will rule and reign jointly together with him. In verse 6 of chapter 4, it says, "And before the throne there was a sea of glass under crystal, and in the midst of the throne." So once again, in this midst of the throne, that means right in the middle of the throne. This is the only company that is seen in the midst of that throne. You have the 24 elders, wonderful place for those full overcomers in the Old Testament. But their place is on thrones around that midst of the throne. They sit around that glory throne with Jesus Christ and his bride. And then once you get to chapter 7 of Revelation, then you see where the majority of Christians will be. That innumerable multitude. And they don't have crowns. They have palms in their hands. If we've, again, talked about on Sunday. And they stand before the throne. They're looking up to the throne because they're standing on the sea of glass looking up at that throne. And they sing salvation to our God. Whereas those four living ones, that bride, that queen that will reign with him, she stands with him in the midst of that glory. She stands with him in the midst of that wonderful throne. And she looks out, praise God, with him upon that wonderful worship that goes forward of the innumerable multitude. But she receives that, in a sense, as his glory with him. It's wonderful what she'll receive with him. She'll receive everything with him because she's one with him. This is his glory. And by the grace of God, I pray that we will have that confidence in the blood that he shed so freely on that cross. As the word of God said about those cherubim, they look only at the mercy. And that's why they grow in faith to that extent, to believe in the power of the blood that will have me even ruling and reigning jointly together with Jesus Christ. If that blood's power could take me from death to life everlasting, let me tell you something, it also can take me, this confused, disobedient, sometimes short attention span fella, if somehow, some way I'll take the grace of God to yield and to listen to the word of God, he'll have me ruling and reigning together with him in the midst of the throne, praise God. So we thank the Lord for this, but it's so beautiful here that you see as he speaks here in Revelation 4. So it says, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion. The second beast was like a calf. The third beast was like the face of a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And tonight as we get, he's been made unto us redemption. Been made unto us righteousness. I want us to really focus upon that second beast, which is the second in that order. A beast like a calf. Now, that word calf, it also means a bullock. It also means a heifer. Now, this is important because in Leviticus chapter 4, the bullock was specifically needed to be a bullock without spot. And so wonderfully, that bullock was used and represented the sin offering. But maybe even more splendid is in Numbers 19, and that was the sacrifice of the heifer. So the calf, again, can also be translated, that's seen there, as a bullock or as a heifer. Now, that heifer in Numbers 19 was a specific type of a heifer. And I don't know if you remember, but it was to be a red heifer. And matter of fact, a spotless red heifer. And there was something very different and special about that sacrifice of that red heifer. Not only was it for Israel, but it was for the strangers as well too that would abide with them once and for all. Then the blood of that heifer was sprinkled, praise God, and sprinkled seven times, and then that heifer and everything about it was burned, speaking of God's complete judgment upon all sin. And praise God, that is the beautiful Lamb of God that we know. All of that was laid upon him. All of this that was done with that red heifer was done outside the camp. Well, we know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he was taken outside the city, and he was crucified out from among the camp. So we thank God that we are grateful to him that he has been made unto us this righteousness. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5, and let's read verses 17 through 19 as we're speaking of this wondrous righteousness that he has been made for us. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, and that's Romans 5:17. So if by one man's offense death reigned by one, Much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in the life by one Jesus Christ. This kind of gives you a hint about that righteousness, isn't it? It's a gift. So we know once again it's the grace of God, isn't it? It's so wonderful. See, the Lord tells us so sweetly, it's the grace, and by the way, it's the grace of the gift of righteousness. It's like a double portion grace. A double portion gift of grace, which is righteousness, which it really is. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift, isn't that wonderful again? It keeps talking about the gift. The free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Isn't that precious? So we know we're righteous because of him. We know we're righteous, praise God, because he died for us. That precious blood that was shed for us, he was made righteousness for us. In John, 1 John 2:1, it says there that Jesus Christ is the righteous one. See, there's only one righteous. Romans 3:10 tells us there's none of us righteous. There's no man righteous, no, not one. But our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he is the righteous one. And in that sacrifice on the cross, there was nothing left, praise God, but righteousness. The very righteousness of God for us. Sin completely gone. The atonement fully made. And all through the blood left only the righteousness of God for us. He took our place. Amen? He did. He took it. Amen. And we're so grateful to God that we have entered in through that one and that finished and final once and for all sacrifice. And I thank God that he did it for me. Now, if you turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. We're moving right along, as you can see. But there's so much here, and we're just, like I say, touching on a few of the highlights of that he has been made righteousness for us. Now in verse 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Boy, I love that verse. One of my favorites. So see, he's been made unto us righteousness, so we could be made the very righteousness of God in him. And you think about last week, didn't we read there in Revelation chapter 4, verse 10, that we have been made kings for him? Amen. Priests and king, or kings and priests for him. Hallelujah. Well, by grace, praise God, we have been made the very righteousness of God in him and for him. So I say this, by grace, we certainly are his workmanship. Amen. He does it all. We are his workmanship. He does all of the work, praise God, and it's all by his grace. And through his incredible grace, loving us, and he loved us while we were dead in sin. Remember that. And because of that incredible grace, then by faith we are made righteousness for him. And we were made in him, in Christ, the very thing that God loves. And I love this. The very thing that God loves, this righteousness. Read what the psalmist said in Psalm 11, verse 7. I love this. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. Well, he made you exactly what he loves. Boys, remember that. We've been made that for him and unto him. He made us what he loves. Didn't make us anything else. He adores us. That's why we are now the sons of God. We have the very life of his only begotten son that lives in us. Isn't that awesome? Never be separated from that love, ever. Can't be, because he made us what he loves and whom he loves. And that's why nothing will ever separate us from that love, see? But brothers and sisters, I have to tell you, that's just the beginning for this righteousness that he's made us for him. And that righteousness that he's been made for us. Because now we can grow up in that righteousness. See, I'm so thankful. I understand that being born again, I'm a son of God. And as a son of God, I'll never be any more of a son of God than I'm born at the moment I'm born again. But I can grow up in that sonship. I can grow up and become a full, mature son that participates in everything. Hallelujah. Of what that sonship has in that godly DNA, praise God, that I've been born with. And it's the same with this righteousness. I'll never be any more righteous, but I can grow up in that righteousness. It can become something that becomes fully finished in this fully readied. Matter of fact, we'll get to in just a moment. It's the exalted rank of righteousness that Paul talks about that is the crown that he's been given there in 2 Timothy chapter 4. That he has that crown. And once again, as he says, not unto me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. So, see, there's a love in that. And that love is so deep, isn't it? And yet so wide, and the breadth and the length and the depth and the height and all of the dimensions of the love of God. But you begin to really grow into that and understand. You're in awe that you know that love, the completeness of that love. That love that causes me to be a warrior. That love that causes me to be a lover of him. That love that causes me to be a son that grows up fully in that valiant spirit, praise God, of his grace. It's awesome, isn't it? Just incredible of all the things that we grow up into him in all things, praise the Lord. But see, we grow up in this righteousness. We grow even into that crown of the exalted rank of righteousness, which represented here by that second beast. In Matthew 5, 6, and this is a sweet little verse about when it gets into the blesseds there in chapter 5 of Matthew. In chapter 5, verse 6, it says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Precious little verse there, isn't it? Isn't that wonderful? And I thank God that it's not that, again, I'm as righteous as I'll ever be, but I want that righteousness to grow in my life. I want to grow up into that, see? And I want that there to be a panting. And we understand that our righteousness is him. We want the Lord to grow up into us. We want that fullness of the scriptures, the word, truth and love, spirit and truth to grow up into us in that. But I love that little verse because if you look at that last little word, means filled. So think of that again. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Well, that word filled is so wonderful because that word means a fatted calf, a stall-fed calf. Praise the Lord. Isn't that what we're reading about tonight? Is that calf, if you will, the second beast? It's a stall-fed calf. That's the ones that truly love and pant after that righteousness. They've been fed this glorious gospel of Paul, brothers and sisters. That's the reason Paul grew up into that exalted rank of righteousness, because of that heart that panted after him, just like a heart of David, that grew up into that knowledge and that wisdom of, yes, praise God to understand that, Lord, with you, I will rule and reign. But praise be to God again for that death that you died for me as well too. That righteousness, it's all you. There's such magnificence in his death. Praise be to God. I just rejoice in this with you, brothers and sisters. But so, how does this occur then? Well, in Romans 4, 6, let's talk again about how does this righteousness really occur in our life? You know, how do you seek after this righteousness? Because, you know, that's a lot of what you hear in Christianity is, oh, I just want to be a righteous guy, or he's a righteous fella. Well, let's make sure we understand what God's righteousness is. I think that's real important to understand the Word of God and what righteousness is and how we grow in righteousness. In Romans 4, 6, it says, even as David also describes the blessedness of man, unto whom God imputes righteousness without works. You don't work for righteousness. Once again, can you believe it? It's all by grace. Hallelujah! Wonderful. It's never different. That's why I don't want you to, let's not get confused about this stuff. Everything that he's been made into us is all grace. And over throughout the Word of God, praise his name. He imputes it. He gives it. It's what his life is that lives in us. All of this is already there. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. And that includes his righteousness. We've got it. praise his name. But now with that, Lord, I do. I want it to grow up in me. I want to grow up into you in all things. I want this to magnify you in the fullness, this beautiful grace. It never, ever changes. The exalted rank of righteousness that Paul receives, and we'll get to that here in a minute, never came by works. It's only the same way we receive anything from the Lord, by grace through faith. By grace through faith. It's all the grace of God. I believe it. He gave me that too. I believe it. He gave me that too. I believe it. Praise be to God, it all comes by faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. Because all he wants you to do is to have faith in that wondrous grace. And I love that verse that it says, faith worketh by love. Once again, without truly growing in the knowledge of the love of Christ, your faith will never grow. That's why he says, to know the love of Christ. If you'll know the love of Christ, you'll know his word for you. You'll know those promises that are for you. Not knowledge, again, of some test that we're going to take at the end of the service. This is love. This isn't Bible trivia. There's nothing trivia about the Bible. No offense. It's kind of fun to play. I don't really play. It's more fun to see you fight. But I'm just teasing. I got to stop. Got to get it going again here. But it's love. You know the love of Christ, your faith will grow. Amen? Isn't that how we've grown up into this? You didn't just say, hey, well, this is great, this bridal truth. I've got this bridal truth. No, you don't got no bridal truth. He gives it to you. He gives that to you. And you grow in it, and it becomes real to you because of the love of Christ. Amen? It's not here, it truly is here. It's something that's taken by heart. By faith. So it never changes that way. Now, turn over since we're in Romans. Let's go to Romans 10:4. Always remember that. 10:4 is a good one. In a lot of different scriptures, 10:4 is a good one. But Romans happens to be really good. So Romans 10:4, it says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. So here's Christ, praise God, and that just ends the law for righteousness. To everyone who? That believes. So see, now wait a second here. So that righteousness is still going on for them that don't believe. And I got a news for all of them that want to have righteousness by the law. You're never going to get it. The only thing you're going to get, and I mean it very sincerely, I'm not joking around, you'll get a lake of fire. Because you will never obtain righteousness by the works of the law. It's by grace, isn't it? It's because of his death, his precious blood that was freely given. But we must believe. You must have faith to believe in that. That he gave. God so loved the world, he gave. And he gave you his only begotten son. Isn't that wonderful? And whosoever believes. Once again, faith. Believeth in him. Shall never perish and have everlasting life. We're just so thankful to God for the simplicity of the gospel of Christ that it is all by grace. He gave it, now believe it, by grace through faith. Amen. So, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Righteousness, yes, is by grace. Christ ended that completely. We obtain righteousness by faith, by believing. Romans 4:3. So we don't even get confused about our brethren in the Old Testament. Abraham, can you imagine? He believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. See, Abraham didn't work. Some people try to say, well, see, those guys in the Old Testament, they were just better believers. You know, they believed and they held out on the law and were righteous. No, they weren't. They were righteous by faith. It was still looking to the blood. That's why they had the sacrifice. But once again, that was done year after year. There was always the remembrance of those sins, wasn't there? But when Christ came, goo gives me chills, once and for all, praise God, never to be remembered again. Amen. See, I always thought about those guys in the Old Testament. You know, every year they kind of remembered. So, you know, they kind of look at Fred and Charlie and Betty and,
Oh, I remember, you know, this guy. No, I'm just teasing, you know, and stuff. But let's not be like that, because the Lord said once and for all never to be remembered again. Amen? Praise God. Love you. And by the grace of God that we have that love for one another and just encourage, praise God, in the beauty of the righteousness that we've been made in Him. So, we're growing on in righteousness. Amen? And so, we know that it comes by what? It comes by faith. And so, growing in righteousness would come by growing what? In more faith. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's how it works. If righteousness came by faith, then to grow up in righteousness requires growing up in more faith, more believing. And how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So there must be more word in order to have more faith, in order to grow up in righteousness. Praise God. Which is the truth, isn't it? It's the word of God. And it's so wonderful because, see, that's why I also think about this order, which is so beautiful, of that we saw. He's been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That order's perfect. See, you must know first. That king is wise. Remember, it's of kings to search out a matter. You have to understand. You have to know. You have to hear the gospel of Christ. You have to hear the message. You have to hear somebody tell you about Jesus, even to begin, is to hear that He died for you. You have to hear the word of God. And that's why I thank the Lord for our precious Father. He didn't say, see Him. He didn't say, get excited about Him. He didn't say anything. He said, hear Him. You hear Him. You hear my Son, everything will go from there. It'll be wonderful, but only hear Him. So we go on with this, and we're thankful to God that we grow in that wondrous faith. We grow with that because of the word, and we understand that it's impossible to please God without faith. So you grow in faith, you'll grow up fully in this righteousness that we've been made for Him and that He's been made into us. And maybe so much that we'll grow as Paul, praise God, instructed that we could have that exalted rank or that exalted crown of righteousness. I keep talking about it because I'm so excited, but we're not going to get there for just a minute. Now let's go back over to 2 Samuel chapter 22. This will kind of blow your heart a little bit larger. I love it. 2 Samuel 22, 21. This is sweet David. This was his song of deliverance. And I'll tell you what, this David, he'd been through a lot of stuff by this time. He'd made a lot of mistakes. There'd been a lot of hurt, a lot of things he would love to have gone back and said, well, maybe not. But at the same time, I believe David truly received, it didn't have to be, but it had to be. You know that about your life, don't you? It didn't have to be, but it had to be. Praise God. Had to get a hold of you. And sometimes that humility's got to come in a real hard package. But it's the love. It's that wonderful hand of God. Now, in 2 Samuel 22, 21, David says this, "The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath He recompensed me." I always wondered how many that bothered, David saying that. Yeah, but he did. But don't you remember he was? God said, that's the man after my own heart. He just laid it down. And isn't it wonderful? God just didn't lay it down. David received it. And David praised God. And he said, I could even hear people saying, how dare he say that? The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. The Lord rewarded me according to His grace. So how much according to His grace did the Lord reward you? As much grace you gonna take. Amen. That's it. And that's what David, he said, I'm taking all of this. My heart pants after Him. He that has made unto me wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. My heart just pants after Him for everything that He's been made for me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is so wonderful. So David cried out, the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness. What David's saying here is all the rewards come because of the righteousness of God, hallelujah, that he has been made for me and that we have been made for him. Praise his name. Jesus, the wondrous, obedient calf, made us what God loves. He made us his righteousness. Amen. Take it. Live it. Enjoy it. Thank him. Praise be to God. Rise up. Rise up out of your unbelief. Thank the Lord for who you are in Christ. Know that. Live it now. Don't be deceived by the enemy. He wants to get us so squirrely, so fearful. Oh, be confident in the life that you now live. Amen. Christ liveth in me. That's his life. That's why he's been made this for us and us unto him. The only righteous one, his son. Think of that. The only righteous one is his son. And we were born into that life in Christ. And now are we his sons, and we are fully righteous for him. Yeah, we are like him. Amen. And I'm grateful to God. So let's grow up into him like him. That's the beautiful part. I'm thanking God for it. So that's just it. Now, it's going to get a little bit sweeter and as we wrap this up even. So I want you to think about this. So God, he is the righteous Lord. And God, our Lord, he is the righteous judge. Let's go on over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's read that precious verse we've been rejoicing in about Brother Paul. And we'll back up just a bit in verse 6. Paul's about ready. He knows that he's going to see the Lord. He knows the Lord is the author and finisher of his faith. And he knows he is ready. So here's what he says in verse 6. He says, "For I am now ready to be offered." Notice that he's now ready. He wasn't ready 5 minutes back or an hour back or a year back. It was now. God brought him to that time. He's ready right now. Praise God. Now. And I love that. "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." I want you to think about that again. It's a crown of righteousness. All of his children are righteous. But why does Paul receive a crown of righteousness? Because if you look at the definition and truly the meaning of those words, crown of righteousness, its true meaning is an exalted rank of righteousness crown. He grew up into his precious Lord in all the fullness of what was offered. Isn't that wonderful? And so here he is, this fully grown manifestation of the beautiful grace that brought all the righteousness of God into his life, into full glory. Praise God. Just wonderful, is it not? Isn't this wonderful? See, that's why I said we don't need to be confused about the righteousness of God. It's wonderful. It's just all his grace. It's Jesus. It's just Jesus growing up into us and such a wonderful, magnificent encouragement to our lives. And I pray that we understand this too, that in that righteousness, I'll tell you what, see, that's who we are. We yield to who we are in Christ. It's amazing all these lies that will start to leave our life. That is, it's the truth. Just get honed in who you are and all the lies go away. Well, they might still try to bug you, but you'll be honed in and say, "No, that ain't me. Nope, that ain't me." Now, there'll be people to try to remind you who you think they think you are. "No, nope, that ain't me. That's who I am in Christ." And you begin to hone in there and, boy, they'll say, "Well, man, you know what? He ain't that guy." That's the testimony of the grace of God. Praise the Lord. But I pray that you'd know that before that anyways, because you know it's Christ in me just like it's Christ in you. But see, this is wonderful. See, but read there, as we read there in the 8th verse, the Lord is the righteous judge, isn't he? See, isn't that wonderful? So Paul was given a crown of righteousness, and who was he given it by? The righteous judge. That's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I pray this is going to give you even more meaning to this. Let's hang in here for just a second, because this is
culminates to such a beautiful thought that the Lord has given us tonight. See, we know that he judges everything in his righteousness, and he does. But to us who are righteous, there is another realm in this statement that he is the righteous judge. The judge, he judges the righteous for rewards. Amen, he does. He judges the righteous for rewards. Because the righteous are sinless. So there is no need to stand before a great white throne of judgment to see what wrong you've done because you're righteous. You better get it. Amen. So we know that the judgment that's going on right now, which is the judgment seat of Christ, the righteous judge, is judging us for reward. And really, what reward is he judging us for? How much growth, if you will, even in a thought, is how much of his righteousness did we grow up in? So he's judging us for righteousness because he is the righteous judge, the judge of righteousness. I love it. It's so clear, isn't it? It's like, well, no duh, he really says that, doesn't he? Amen, he does, because he's judging us in that reward. That would we, as Paul, grow up into that exalted rank of righteousness. Amen? And that's why it's the righteous judge that judges that. Because the righteous judge is the one that knows his righteousness. Because he knows his grace that he gives it. Amen? So praise be to God. He just sat there with Brother Paul and he watched Paul just grow up. And he said, oh, my sweet brother. Oh, my love, my fair one. My sister, my spouse. However you want to say it. Oh, you've been holding it, but here, let me just put it on you. Boom. Isn't that wonderful? It's so beautiful that this is this glorious calf, this wondrous heifer, if you will, this stall-fed calf, amen? Took it all in, all that grace, and just grazed on him and kept eating that knee-deep clover that Brother Hill used to talk about. Praise God. Praise God. Yeah, hallelujah. We're born of God. We're every bit a son. But I'll tell you what, let's grow up into that sonship. Amen. Let's grow up into what God has given us. That's why Paul won the exalted rank, that crown of righteousness given to him by the righteous judge. And Paul made it known, I am what I am by the grace of God. Know that. See, it was all grace. But he grew up into that righteousness. He was given that exalted rank of righteousness crown by one reason, and one reason only. He took the grace of God. He believed in the grace of God. He took all that grace, which was able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. You think about the lives of David that were the full overcomers in the Old Testament. A guy that murdered. Fornicate, adulterer, all of those different things. And yet he was confident in the grace of God. Confident in the grace of God. That's why he said, the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness. He took it, didn't he? He said, it's mine. Isn't that amazing? Gosh, David, how dare you say that it's yours? It's mine. He's been made unto me that. Why wouldn't I take it? Oh, that we would awaken to it. It's so mighty. It's so mighty. So how much grace will we take? Will we take it all? Will we grow up into him in the fullness of this righteousness, even to the point of winning the exalted rank of righteousness crown? Well, I'll tell you what, he really makes it clear that it's not by works as we close this out. Go on over to Romans chapter 9. If you think righteousness can ever come any way by your work, you better really understand what we're talking about here tonight. And I pray people will listen to this. Chapter 9, verse 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? That's me. Amen. I raised my hand back to heaven. I got it. Praise God. But Israel, listen to this, and any that will follow that way of works, which followed after the law of righteousness, has not attained the law of righteousness. Why? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works
of the law. Amen, it is. It's a good fight of faith, isn't it, brothers and sisters? Faith in the Word of God. Not faith in my strength or in my that I think is good. It's Him. And I'll tell you what, when I begin to praise Him and live the glory of His grace, oh my, is He good in me. It's amazing what's performed in our lives. I mean, He amazes me what He performs in my life. What I think about now, what my mind, how He's taken it. And it's such a naturally corrupt mind. Been in the gutter as a gutter as a gutter. But yet let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you. Oh, and the transformation. Oh, how He's renewed my mind. He's renewed my thoughts. Praise be to God. Let this open our eyes that, see, He's seeking the true worshiper that worships Him. In what? Spirit and truth. Well, it's the same way. The righteous judge is seeking the ones that will fully grow up into His righteousness by faith. Amen. You got to know the Word of God. Do you see now the righteousness will always, that righteousness, His righteousness will always be rewarded? It's what God loves. Even the most immature believer will have a righteous reward. They will. The most immature believer will have a righteous reward. But the winners of the crown will have that exalted crown that magnified His grace by faith. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, I think I'm ready to have even more faith in His grace. How about you? More faith into believing, praise God, to win Him. To be ready to bring on the grace, Lord Jesus. I want to grow up fully in faith. And finally, I would just say this. Is it any wonder why that wonderful bride, His wife, is clothed with the righteousness of saints? She's just stunning. She's taken it all. It's like if you'll take it all, you're just taking it all. And they just clothe you in that beautiful righteousness of saint gown for Him. You have it all of what He loves. That's the beautiful thing. He loves His righteousness. And she's clothed in that garment of the righteousness of saints. She is so magnificent in what He loves. That's why He's ravished with her. Because that all came by what? Grace. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.